and welcome to Reality Breakdown. I am your host, Acacia Kappa, and today we have a special guest host, Karen Lightbourne.
Hi!
Unlike normal episodes, today we're going to just talk about two shows, New York and Beverly Hills. If you don't know what those are, it's Real Housewives of New York and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We're not going to do a play-by-play. We're just going to discuss the shows and tell you our thoughts. So which one would you like to start with? I guess we should give a little background on Karen. She is not a diehard like myself and my co-host Alexis, who is currently traveling in New York. So she's too busy to do this. But Karen is going to try, and we're going to love to hear her insight. Her and I do not agree on most points, and we do not like the same housewives, but it's good to always have a
different demographics. I'm a different demographic than Acacia.
Yeah, and it's nice to have a differing opinion. So, Karen, who would you like to start with?
Let's do New York first.
Okay. So, New York, we got to see a doggy show, a little doggy daycare show. That was exciting. Tinsley was quite impressive.
I thought it was funny, though, because, like, does both of the franchises have to be concentrating on dogs right now? There's other issues in the world that maybe...
When you're rich and you don't have jobs, that's all you do focus on is your dog.
I guess.
And pre-baby, I was all about my dog.
Well, yeah, but they're kind of past the pre-baby stage. Yeah. Although Tinsley doesn't think that she is.
Oh, 43, sorry. But also, most of their kids are grown. So
exactly.
Now they're circled back to the dog stage until they get their grandbabies.
True.
And let's be honest, before you got your grandbaby, you were and still are quite obsessed with your dog.
Yes, my little English bulldog, Bogart.
He's not the smartest, despite what you may believe.
He's very smart.
He's cute. He's very cute.
But we digress.
So we get to see that. We get to see an example of Ramona completely walking past somebody she knows, a la Tinsley's mom.
I know. And the mom was there like, here's the dog. Here's the dog. You must recognize the dog.
And Ramona just walks right past her because nobody matters to Ramona. Like, Barbara's like, oh, she sees me all the time and never speaks. That's not you. That's Ramona. That is who she is. You cannot take that personally because she's not going to change.
I like to focus on their outfits. Cause
okay, we'll talk about outfits.
I'm more girly than you, although I'm older. But I like the outfits. Was it Ramona that walked in jeans? And then she was like, oh, what? You all dressed up.
Yeah.
I didn't get the memo.
Dorinda's outfit was quite impressive.
Yeah, that was
white
cute.
Dress, that was one of the first times I've been like, whoa, Dorinda's showing out.
That was very cute. I didn't like, well, we're maybe moving too fast, but when they all meet up, I didn't like Bethany's little pinafore dress.
See, I loved it.
Of course you would.
But I love I just love Bethany personally. I think she's great. So, I guess what else happened at the dog show? They walked, they talked, Tinsley got to go back into the spotlight, which is really where she wanted to be.
And she handled it well. It was one time that she didn't look like the ditzy Tinsley, like, I'm the young one amongst all of you older women and cougars and whatnot. And, you know, she handled it well. I was surprised.
Yeah. And then they went on the boat. And the boat ride, I guess it was nothing. Clearly, Ramona's trying to get her friend who owns the boat on as a housewife, but she must have been extremely boring. So, we only got maybe two shots of her. And the most exciting thing there was them joking about, you know, Nookie smelling like fish. So,
and then the woman was serving fish.
Yeah.
Nothing but sushi.
That's how it started. She was serving sushi, and then Bethany was like, oh, you could lay down naked and have sushi laid on top of you, like a la Sex in the City. And then that conversation just completely digressed. And then next we're in the Berkshires, which was extremely... I mean, every year the Berkshires brings excitement. But the whole, and I love Halloween, don't get me wrong, but all of those decorations, the mummy standing outside the door, that was too much for me.
No, I think it's cute. You know, Dorinda really enjoyed, I mean, look at the shark room. So obviously she likes stuff, whatever the word is.
Kitschy.
Yeah, she likes, you know, all that type of stuff. And she went all out, and I guess it's Halloween, and she probably is missing her kids and the time that she can do all that for them. How many kids does she have?
One. And the thing is, I do like the decorations, don't get me wrong, but if I'm walking through a place that is actually called a manor in the middle of the night, and there's some figure standing outside the window looking in at me, you think I'm not going to try and pull out a gun and shoot that thing or call the cops?
Like, I think it's hilarious.
No, that would scare the shit out of
me. Well, that's great. Some of them needs to have some shit scared out of them.
Yeah, so I liked all the decorations except for that one. That's something I'll dream about at night.
So then they all arrive, and then who arrived first? Was it Ramona and...
Ramona, Tinsley and Sonia.
And, I mean, I do watch enough and can remember enough of them to remember, to know that Ramona and Sonia always fuss over what room they're going to have.
Yes, always.
Always. I thought it went down pretty easily initially. You know, they were happy that they didn't get the shark room.
Yeah.
So they kind of went down.
I mean, the thing is, they've come here, what, 3-4 years in a row now?
Right.
I think they should recycle rooms. So, last year, Lou took it for the team, and I remember that. She was like, don't worry, I'll handle it. She took the crappy room that no one wanted. So, why does she get stuck back there again? Especially when Dorinda knows that her and Lou are trying to make up. It kind of, to me, seemed like Dorinda knew what they were doing, and she was doing some side shade by letting them give Lou that room.
You know, for me, I feel like, yes, as you said, they've all been there several times. I mean, they're guests in the Berkshires at a huge mansion or manor or whatever. Suck it up. You're grown-ass women. What difference does it make? And if you're that freaking drunk when you fall asleep, so what? I just don't get it. I mean, I think you keep going there and you know what's going to be waiting for you. If you don't want to go, obviously you're taking the opportunity to be in the Berkshires in somebody's house for free or whatever, or to shoot the TV show or whatever. But just suck it up. Who cares?
I agree. And I mean, I do agree and I see that side and I totally get what you're saying.
They're struggling for a storyline.
But at the same time, if Lou got that room last year, no one wants the room, why does she get stuck in it again? That's basically saying that she is second fiddle to everyone else, and she always has to get the crappier room. And on another trip they had, they all didn't want one room, and Lou ended up being the one taking it. So I get it, but the storming off from dinner over a room, it was like, okay, that's enough.
Well, clearly she went in, and while Dorinda was off excusing herself, you know, she was there, and they were all building her up to it. And then there's this underlying tension between her and Dorinda anyway. So unless Dorinda really bent ass over backwards for her, she was going to find some issue to bitch about.
Very
and
true.
Then she said, oh, can we have a massage? Do you think it would be okay to have a massage, darling? And then she's like, oh, what was it?
Yoga.
Can we do yoga? And Dorinda's like, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, okay, sure. Really, she wants to be like, bitch, where the fuck you think you're sitting? You know, come on now.
That's the truth. And I mean, at the same time, when they stayed at others' houses, when they stayed at, what's her name? Heather's house in the Berkshire. They had yoga instructors. When they stay with Ramona, they have yoga instructors and masseuses. So it is kind of the norm for them, but it also seems bad when they're asking for it, whereas all the other hostess just had organized it for them. So it wasn't something they had a request. It was already there waiting and good to go. But Lou is...
But Dorinda makes it nice.
Yeah, and Lou is literally just pushing Dorinda to see how far she can push
her. She's pushing her buttons.
If only Dorinda had apologized last week.
Yeah, I don't get that because...
How could she not see she was wrong?
I just don't know. I think... And then for her, I mean, I don't know if you've discussed last week already.
No.
But then for her to, last week, sit down and cry and... And chase that Heather lady?
Barbara
lady out of the house and like, oh, you're not here to support me. Just leave. Just go. I don't need this. Come on. You were rude. You were a bitch. You were drunk. And you were just clearly taking the piss out of Lou. And right now, the easiest thing to move forward would just be to say, I'm sorry.
My bad. Just say my bad. That's
exactly
enough.
You know, I just don't get it. And... That's all I think Luann wants. Yeah, I think, you know, Luann is the countess, and she'll forever be the countess. And she wants people to bow down, and she needs to feel like she's being deferred to, and all of that type of stuff. And they're all strong women, and God bless them, because if they weren't, we wouldn't enjoy watching them. But it doesn't take that much to say, you know what, I fucked up, I'm sorry.
How hard is it to be the bigger person?
Exactly. If it's a friendship that, you know, you swallow, to keep friendships over 20 years don't last if they're real true friendships. Unless once in a while you take the high road and just say, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the absolute truth. And if you don't say you're sorry, then you're not going to get anywhere. Just putting a band-aid or acting like it didn't happen. Eventually, you're going to get into another fight, and it's going to be brought up how 10 years ago or 5 months ago, you did this, and you didn't apologize. And
but then we wouldn't have a show, huh?
I guess. I mean, I just enjoy watching Sonia and Ramona.
Why didn't they talk more? I'm sorry, but why didn't they talk more about freaking Sonia making out with that chick?
Because
I mean, come on now.
Sonia makes out with everybody.
Well,
I guess it's not a big deal anymore. The first couple of seasons, I was like, wow. But now it's like, oh, please. That's so. And then she posted about it, and she said that she didn't even know who the woman was.
Yeah.
She just walked up and said she wanted to meet her, and then started kissing her.
So how do you feel, though, about Dorinda saving the room for Bethany? I kind of think that's cool.
I think that is cool and very nice, but I also think if she can have the foresight to do that, then she should have had the foresight to try and give Luann a nicer room.
Point taken.
She could have remembered last year Lou took that room.
Yeah.
All three of those women said they didn't want to stay in that room.
She's obviously not fighting for Lou at this point.
Right. She's trying to suck up to Bethany.
I think maybe subconsciously or
manipulatively.
Yeah, that she is digging it at Luann.
That's why
she's
said.
Trying
it's
to make
so
Luann
shade.
Fight her own battle, and maybe try and put Luann up because she did actually. She says, "Oh well, you go decide it." So she's trying to,
place
the other girls against Luann.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I thought it was nice of Tinsley to step up and say, well, I'll do this. But then Luann is, again, instead of being the bigger person and saying, thanks, Tins, you know,
yeah.
It's cool. Dorinda, you're shit, but thanks, Tinsley. Let's go on and move on and have fun. And then now Tinsley, which maybe is part of Dorinda's big plan, Tinsley is now going to be like, well, here I am trying to be the nice person and the mature one for once. And then you're all just... still fighting and bitching. And I know I'm maybe taking over a little bit, Casey, but we glossed over the boat trip so fast.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to... so let's go back to the boat trip.
Yeah.
So, poor Tinsley. I don't know if it's poor Tinsley, because it's like, dude, you're 43. Wake up and smell the roses. You only have maybe 2 more years left where you can honestly have carry your own kid.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling Tinsley at all at that point. I think that the women were very right. Tinsley, she's the youngest one in the group at 43, if you want to call that the baby of the group. But they were right. I mean, if you're that defensive and you can't answer these questions, and you're getting so uptight, then there are problems in this relationship.
And if you're afraid for the man who you possibly want to marry, meeting or spending any time with your mother, then maybe he isn't the guy you need to be marrying. He can't be told by your mother that he needs to hurry up and marry you. I mean, you're 43. You want kids. If he can't be told that by anyone, especially your mother who's looking out for you, then he shouldn't be around. If he's going to live in that la-la land of, well, he has forever, so you need to wait forever.
Well, I think maybe sometimes you do try and keep distance between some people, and it's not as deep as it all sounds, but she is riding a wave that may just crash just short of the shore, and that could be her
downfall. She might end up never being with kids.
It could be the point, like, if she's 43 now and she's riding the wave, and then it could crash and burn at 45, 46, where, like you said, she can never have kids. And then it's harder to find a good guy when you're a little bit older, because they're all taken, they're all gay, they're all set in their ways or whatever. So not to say that there's never hope, ladies. There's always hope.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, don't be stupid, okay? Because if I was in her position, I would be listening to these women who are older than me, who know better, and I would be paying attention.
Yeah.
Granted, Ramona did have her kid at, like, 40, but at 43, you are, like, literally seconds away from that buzzer where it's going to ding and you can't have any more.
She looks good for 43, though, huh? But
she
I guess
does look good.
With Botox and stuff.
But looking good and having good ovaries on the inside and a good
but
little baby
oven.
She
has eggs, doesn't she?
Yeah, but where is she going to put them? Oh. She's going to have to find a surrogate to carry her baby.
Yeah. Well, regardless,
which is not bad. I'm completely for surrogacy and whatever you need to do to have a kid, totally support it. But I do get where the women are coming from.
I totally get it because, I mean, put a ring on it. You know, put a ring
on
it.
They've been going back and forth for years.
But I do give her props for not uprooting her life and moving over to Chicago, wherever the hell he is, just on a whim and licking a promise.
Completely agree.
Good for her. That's one area that she seems to be being a mature adult. But, I mean, keep your options open, man.
Especially when you're... I don't know. If I was at that point in life and I was looking down at the barrel of a gun and it's like, I would just be dating anyone.
Yeah.
I'd be just trying to get pregnant, honestly. At the end of the day, your baby will be with you for life. You never know if a man's going to be around forever.
Well, most of them aren't, but... and then we missed over Bethany meeting the grief counselor.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sad, but I've seen Bethany go to so many counseling sessions now, it's kind of like, meh. I just kept thinking, what happened to the other guy she used to see, Dr. Ramadad or something like that? Ahmad?
But, you know, it's different people for different situations. I think that's cool of her to take it on, whatever works for her, and... It was so honest and refreshing of her to say she was at the funeral and she was the girlfriend or the ex-girlfriend or the in-between girlfriend or wherever their situation was at the time of his death. But she felt like she had to defer to his wife and the mother of his... Did he have children and kids?
But you
like
had,
that?
And she's friends with the children, which is nice.
And that was so cool of her.
And respectful. And
it's good for her. I mean... have a love-hate... I really love Bethany. I think of all the housewives of New York, Bethany is my favorite.
Oh, Bethany is my favorite of all, next to Vanderpump. Sorry, ladies, I love
Vanderpump. But Vanderpump is hit Beverly Hills. But Bethany is...
I love Bethany.
She's so raw, and she's so honest, but then, oh my God, you cannot ever deny her
humanitarian.
Ladies, I've
efforts.
Had a couple of glasses of wine, so I'm not on my A game right now. But you cannot fold that. I mean,
no.
She's just a firecracker. She's come out of the gates, and she's just going and going and going. And she calls a spade, yeah. Which I like. But wasn't it funny when they said, oh, it looks like Bethany crying?
Yeah, and then they did the flashback. Oh, my God.
With the guy.
The editors are so shady
they
sometimes.
They are so shady. Because it kind of did look like Bethany crying. And I think if somebody said that to Bethany, she'll find it a hoot.
Yeah, she would.
You know, where she wouldn't get all offended and... At the next dinner, we say, "Oh well, you did you likened me to the statue in Dorinda's yard."
Yeah, she would laugh.
She'll think it's a great little joke.
I thought it was also funny, and this is what I was gonna say. I could watch Ramona and Sonia forever when they were in the car.
Yeah, they have a good dynamic.
And they were trying to tell the driver. They're like, "Oh, we should be turning on the highway." He's like, "We are," and they're like, "We're Google Maps says we're 13 miles away." And they just killed me because they are so, even after all these years, they do not see themselves the way the rest of the world does.
They could have a whole show on their own. And I, honestly, I don't like Ramona. I do not like Ramona. I'm so sorry. I think Ramona is, she's a shit stirrer.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't want to take credit for it.
Yeah.
And then... I'm so glad she didn't come up with the steery eyes for that dog show.
Yeah, I love, and that's what I mean. The editors are so shady to do a throwback to 10 years ago of Ramona. And I mean, you'll never forget that. If you see that episode, you'll never forget the eyes bugging out.
She was on some type of drug or something. Oh. But yeah, we're skipping around a lot, guys. I'm sorry because I'm half hot. And I'm not Casey's normal.
Yeah, and we don't have notes. We're just winging it from what we've seen. But Ramona is hard to take, but I think New York would be lost without her.
And do your listeners know what half hot means?
Yeah.
Because sure. We're from the islands, and we say half hot, and that means a bit tipsy.
Yeah, I think they'll know that you're a bit tipsy.
A few barrels to the wind.
Yeah, so I haven't had any wine, I would like to point out. But... I have a little one, which I'm taking care of, whereas my co-host has decided not to help out today, so she's having wine. But truthfully, Ramona, I mean, I don't like Ramona most seasons either.
I don't like her. I don't hate her, but I just don't like Ramona. I think she is a shit steerer. And I think she likes to stir the pot and then sit back and watch it all unfold. And then she'll be like, well, you know, I really had nothing to do with it. All I said was, and how dare you? I mean, come on now. No.
Yeah.
But I love Sonia.
I love Sonia. If they ever got rid of Sonia, I think I would have to pick it.
I love Sonia.
She's just so loving and nice and friendly. And I'm really upset about next week's episode because it looks like she has a dark moment.
Yeah.
And I just feel badly. But I also think Dorinda, as much as she acts like, I do it, I make it nice, and I'm this nice person.
I think she's gangster.
I think Dorinda is, like they called Vanderpump in Beverly Hills a few, last season and season before, Erica said that Vanderpump is a sharpshooter from the side. I think that's what Dorinda does. Because I think Dorinda sets up the girls, and she says things, and she puts people in positions. And then when things go back poorly, she's like, oh, I love you. And she tries to swoop in. But if you actually watch, she's the reason why things are going that way. She's created this mess.
I think that Dorinda is just, and I don't watch it. I don't do the background like you do. I just watch it purely for entertainment and if it's on or whatever and whatever. But in my feeling and opinion of Dorinda is that she, as rich as she is just, to me, like a New York gangster. Because she gets drunk and then the freaking hood in her will come out. She'll cut a bitch. Yeah. You know, and I think she's very nice and she's very loving, but she can't handle confrontation well because she'll get drunk and then... You know, sometimes they say when you're drunk, a drunk mind speaks to sober mind's presence.
Words,
whatever, because I'm drunk and whatever. I can relate. But, I just think that she is... And I think she likes to play the victim too. I think they all probably like to play the victim. I can't say that I really see Sonya playing the victim. Oh, but she probably did with the Tinsley episode a few years back, huh?
Sorry for that beeping. The pizza went off, so that was the alarm letting us know the food was ready. So, have we exhausted New York?
We talked about the dog show. They never showed if anyone actually adopted that dog.
Which means no one did.
And how much they might have gotten for it.
No, we adopt, it's free.
Was it an adoption or an auction?
An adoption.
Okay. And where in New York did that happen? I couldn't really pick up.
I don't know, on the water side?
Hmm. And then they left there. Bethany hooked up with them and they went on the boat.
Yeah.
And you think that lady is somebody that they're trying to bring on to the show or bring on as a friend or whatever.
Yeah.
Who is she? Do we know anything about her?
No, because she didn't get picked up.
And she didn't say two words.
Yeah, she was so boring.
And they didn't even really show the yacht, the boat, or anything.
No, poor dear.
And then we saw the drive-in. Tinsley, Ramona, and Sonya drove in together. That was a hoot.
God, that kills me.
And they got out, and Dorinda was at the dog show, but she didn't go on the boat.
No.
Because she had to go and make it nice for them at her house. In quotation marks, make it nice. And then they got out and the house is all fully decorated. I mean, really, Casey, you would love that decoration.
I would, and I'm up for everything except the freaking mommy standing outside the window in the middle of the night. If I see someone standing outside my window,
trust and believe,
I'm going after that thing with a bat.
I will totally do that for your house next year.
No.
Compliments of me.
You will see me beat the crap out of that thing.
I didn't like the little gypsy head in the foyer. That kind of, like, you know how when you go to a carnival and it's like, whatever. I didn't like that.
See, I loved all of it. I love Halloween. I love decorations.
Yeah, you do.
But if I'm just, all I can think of is if I'm at some random person's house, maybe not random person, but if I'm at anyone's house, even my own, and I wake up in the middle of the night and I look out the window or the foyer door or whatever, and there's something standing there, I'm either going to war or I'm going to call the police.
What about Dorinda's sister? She sounds just like her, huh?
When she got out of the car, I thought, hey, that looks like Dorinda. And then they're like, Dorinda's sister. I was like, oh, that's why.
She said she's like the Mother Earth type person. She's just not as polished and as New York as Dorinda.
Yeah.
But you could definitely see that they're sisters.
And they sound like, they look like,
they kind of have the same sense of humor and everything, too.
Yeah.
They get along well, it seems. And then you would think if you're having the same girls over. I mean, you have like four or five, six besties who's always around you. As a girlfriend, a genuine friend of everybody like that, you're going to, like you said, you're going to say, okay, well, let's shake it up this year. And this year we'll put this person and that person. And you just flat out tell them instead of like, I think Dorinda was manipulating them in a sense in that she's like, well, okay, I'm going to have my room, obviously. Bethany has asked if she can have this
room. She's given away the two best rooms. Dorinda manipulated that situation.
Right.
Because she knew Luann was the last to come, and she knew she would be the one stuck in the crappy room.
And then she's saying, okay, kind of figure it out for yourselves. But then Sonya and Ramona always share, pretty much.
Right.
Anyway. So, you know, I don't know.
I think Dorinda, this is my,
and they're all like, in the back room, upstairs, you've been there how many years in a row now?
Yeah. But that's the thing, no one ever wants to stay in that room. So for them to then put Luann, for Dorinda to be like, well, it's up to you guys to decide. No, I'm sorry, I'm not buying that. I think she was setting it up.
And then at the luncheon, was it lunch or dinner?
Dinner.
Okay, at the dinner, they're sitting there, and Dorinda started going off a little bit. She's like, you're staying in a mansion. It's not like some flea little hotel down the corner, around the street, up the road. It's a mansion. It's a manor, and all the rooms are half a million. How the F is that shark room?
Well, because the house alone
is worth multi-million dollars. What does it say of Dorinda's aesthetics, though? Is that from, like, her husband's days?
I have no clue. That room is awful.
It is god-awful. Ugly. Yeah, it
and
really
the thing is,
truly is.
She's been told that for 3 or 4 years
It's kind of like the joke room. It's kind of like the room that the person who you don't like the most is going to get.
Exactly.
Which she said she's going to put Luann in.
Right. So, and the thing is, if she knows that all the ladies hate this room because of the sharks, the all the fish, you know those could be removed. It's not like they're stuck to
take
the wall.
Take them down for a day.
Take them down.
You're rich.
Exactly. Take them down. Let someone stay. Enjoy their 3 days
exactly.
at your house.
Put a couple
back
of pictures up. You must have shit in storage. Come on now.
And,
you're rich.
And she knew Luann was going to be the last
yeah.
to come. And this is why I think Dorinda, this is an example of Dorinda setting up a scene so there's an issue, and then she's like, oh, but I have nothing to do with it.
Right. Now, see, this is where I'm not as the same type of viewer as you are, Casey, because I will have initial reactions, and then afterwards I can be backtrack and be like, well, you know. So, excuse me. Initially, I was like, Luann is being the Countess, and
mm-hmm.
she's being on her high horse or whatever. But then, in hindsight, if it was me, I would probably get up and walk, too.
If it was you, you would have walked off and booked a room with that in your act.
I would be like, yeah, fuck this shit. I don't need it. I don't want it. You can all have it. I've done my time. Somebody else pay their dues.
Yeah.
And let's ante up that way. But I kind of
would. You totally would do that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even have the conversation.
Yeah. I would say, no, it's okay.
Yes, I think Luann was being dramatic, but I truly feel this is just another example of Dorinda setting up a situation and trying to act like she's so innocent, truthfully.
Yeah, she obviously doesn't. She obviously wants to still be a part of the fun and the kicking with Luann, but she is definitely not willing to take the high road, say I'm sorry, admit where she was wrong, and she was wrong.
Yep.
Nobody can say that she was not.
No.
She won't give an apology, a simple two words, I'm sorry, and kiss a little ass to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be really interesting to see how things go on from there. And then Bethany's going to swoop in. And it kind of is a little bit, I mean, I feel for Bethany what she's going through, and she might need her space. But Bethany is a little bit of a prima donna herself.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And why would you leave the best room free overnight? If Bethany can't get up there for whatever reason, and we don't want to say, oh, well, she couldn't get up because Bethany does a lot of good shit in her free time. She,
yeah.
You know, she could be off saving a whole freaking
country,
state or something.
Yeah.
Or country. So, props to her. Kudos to her. No sarcasm there. But, why have one of the best... I would go in that room.
I would have set up... Well, we know.
I would have set up shop in that room.
And, Mom, I hate to be the one to say this to you because I know you don't like Ramona. But I'd like to point out that your middle name is Ramona, and there's been a lot of things that Ramona has done, a la take someone else's room,
I didn't even think of that.
A la throw a hissy fit because she didn't get what she wanted, demand her wine, her specific wine she likes and she wants to be wherever she is at all times, and then be insulted that they don't have the wine waiting and ready for her. I'm just saying there's a lot of things that Ramona and you have. You don't have the steery eyes, but that was just a short list of some of the things that
at the age of whatever.
No, you're a happily married woman. I'll give you that.
I mean,
but
I was a cougar
your husband
before
is
that.
Younger, so not that much younger. People, he's not like my age.
Nah.
But I'm just saying,
second husband.
Yeah, my dad's old, but I'm just saying.
Well,
you and Ramona have a lot in common.
Well. I guess
and
there's an argument.
Ramona can be a dick sometimes.
Yeah, maybe.
So
opposites attract. So I don't like her. So maybe there's a little bit of truth in
what
you say.
That's not what I'm saying. So I think we've exhausted New York.
I think we have.
And I guess it's time to move on to Beverly Hills. But honestly, most of the Beverly Hills episode, in my opinion, was so boring. I just can't. I'm so sick of the storyline. I'm so tired of hearing about this dog. And so let's skip to the most exciting part, and then if we have time, we'll go back to everyone sitting around a table bashing Lisa Vanderpump. Because I feel like we've seen that for 3 episodes now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to Kyle showing up at Lisa's house.
I think the producers really set it up as, like, they showed the swans.
The peacefulness.
They showed the swans. They showed Jiggy just sitting in his chair. And all of this is without music. It's you're thinking that you're watching some, like, horror show that's leading up, and they show Kyle just stepping up and everything, and then it cuts to a black screen, and then they pick up and on we go. And Lisa was so happy.
I know, that's what makes it so sad.
Honestly, on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I know Lisa is your favorite and you're the MVP. She's not necessarily mine.
And the thing is, people who don't like her, it's a love-hate. Either love her or you hate her.
But in this app, and leading up to all this, I kind of was on the fence about how I felt about her. But in this episode, and I don't know how good the acting may be, but it felt very raw and it felt very real. And I felt for her. And I totally, she won me over.
We've seen her for 9 seasons. 9 seasons, and we've never seen her lose her cool like that.
But the thing is, she is, no offense to the British, because we're a British colony, and we know our Brits, and we have our Brit friends, and we're whatever percentage British. But they can be snarky, and they can be a little, their jokes are not American jokes.
Right.
And Americans don't always get it. And I'm speaking generally. I'm not trying to start a war between the two countries or whatever. And I just think that she's very British, and her sense of humor is not always understood or taken in the right context by the Americans, and vice versa. But this episode, I think that's very real. I think when you say, on my daughter's life, on my dog's life, she didn't say can.
Yeah. But she said her kids and Jiggy.
But I think that's very raw and very honest. And I think, like you had mentioned once before, it's a little juggling for being head top dog on the show.
You got to think about who gets paid the most. Sometimes with these shows, which is what sucks, but let's be honest, NeNe makes the most. We've seen them come for NeNe.
See, I don't like NeNe.
I'm not a huge NeNe fan, but we've seen them.
Housewives of Atlanta.
But we've seen them for 4 or 5 seasons, ever since NeNe came back, gunning for NeNe. And there's always a storyline, part of the season, where someone or a couple people don't like NeNe.
I don't like NeNe. I think she's a bitch.
Yes, but the point I'm making here is, when one housewife clearly makes more than the others, the wives gun for them. When Bethany first came back, Ramona was gunning for her because she came back and she was making more than Ramona. Everyone knows Vanderpump makes more than the rest of the girls.
Yeah.
And I truly feel that some of them, Erica specifically, knows that if Vanderpump leaves, she will be the shining star. I think Kyle, from day one, has been competitive with Vanderpump. And she feels that if Vanderpump leaves, then she gets to get the OG title to herself.
Yeah.
We all know that Rena is desperate to make money and to be head BIC. So she would love... I think they all think that when one great falls, all will move up.
And that definitely seems to be the play here because they're making freaking too much. I have a dog. I love my dog. I would kill a bitch over my dog. But I think they are making too much issue over this dog. And once again, I personally feel that Dorit, who's the little freaking wrongdoer, is coming out as, she plays the victim.
Just like Sheriff Teddy.
I hate that. I love how she dresses.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But I love her aesthetics. I love her aesthetics. But I think she is also trying, ever since she came on the show, she's trying to establish herself as being a key player and the top dog. And I think everything has got so freaking twisted and convoluted that it's Dorit that we're all mad at.
Dorit's the one who did wrong.
About. Exactly. And I think Kyle was being so severely manipulated by these guys, unless, like you you're saying, that she wants to be top dog again. It's so sad to see the demise
friendship.
Of their friendship
yeah.
like that. I just think that's really sad. I think she should... You can walk the straight line. You can
yeah.
be friends with these people, and you can be friends with these people, and you could give counsel to whichever side you want to give to, but you can still remain Switzerland.
But also, and maybe this is me personally, loyalty is loyalty. So when it comes to one of my best friends, they could literally, in front of me, murder someone. And if it comes down to me defending them against other people, I will defend them to my death, even though I know they're wrong, because that's what friends do. I will defend them, and I know they'll defend me, even if I'm wrong. And that's what a true friend does. Now, in private, they will be the first to tell me, you're wrong, you should have done this, you should have
exactly,
said that.
Exactly.
And I'll do the same. But if it's me up against an entire group talking bad about one of my besties, trust and believe, I'm going to bat for her.
And plus, I think, and I'm the same, but I think I also do kind of like the underdog a little bit. Unless the underdog is obviously wrong.
Right.
I mean, if you're obviously wrong, then I'm going to call you out. But if there's gray matter and that's your friend, you got to kind of...
But also, let's be honest here. This is a TV show. It's being filmed. You have an entire camera crew watching this, filming this. You have everyone and their grandmother who works at Vanderpump Dogs and all of their volunteers. You don't think that any of those, probably close to 100 people, I would assume, work there or volunteer there. You think they haven't heard the story? You didn't think they might want to go sell a story and make a few bucks? What does Lisa Vanderpump gain from putting this in the press besides everyone being mad at her?
Well, I mean, on the reverse side, it would be like I don't think this, but you could argue, being the devil's advocate, that, okay, she's going to stick it to Ted and to Dorit in this manner. But I think that from the very beginning, we've seen that Vanderpump has a certain sense of loyalty to Dorit and PK by virtue of her friendship with PK. Yeah, she's obviously very pissed, which was what was making me think, oh, maybe she did have something to do with this. But what does she have to gain? She's already so rich.
If anything, it's going to make her business look bad.
Exactly.
I've seen the article. I saw it when it came out. I didn't walk away from that thinking, oh, Vanderpump Dogs is running a tight ship over there. I walked away thinking, okay, so they're giving puppies to people, clearly not paying attention what happens afterwards. And how many other puppies do we know that's not being broadcast have been dropped off to shelters? That's what I took from that as a viewer.
And if Vanderpump is so very calculated and everything, and if she had orchestrated all of this, then she must have seen that the end result would be her not having a friendship with PK and Dorit.
Right.
And I don't think that's ever been on her radar. So, you know,
why would she risk that?
Yeah.
She has defended Dorit when Dorit was dead
wrong.
Dead wrong.
Exactly.
Because of PK. So why now, all of a sudden, is she going to risk her friendship with PK?
Exactly. And I think Kyle was so, so stupid to fall into Dorit's trap.
Yeah.
Because Dorit always plays the freaking victim. And
yeah.
I hate that. And Erica's going along for the ride.
Because it benefits Erica.
I love
Erica. It benefits Lisa
Rinna. I love Erica. Love, love, love Erica. I think Rinna is a hoot. But my God, she's like a freaking shark.
She's
nibbling and circling. She's circling and she's waiting to stir up the chum and attack
mm-hmm.
and get everybody going at each other. And then now she's like, oh, well, I'm done with it. If I never hear about Puppy Gate again,
yeah.
I'm done with it.
But when she gets with the girl, she's like a rabid dog.
Little chihuahua.
Yeah, just foaming like, get her, can't get her in the pub. It's like, dude,
no
take
pun
a
intended.
Breath. Yeah,
but yeah, so out of this episode, I came away with a sense of loss because I
love Kyle and Vanderpump
together. Yeah, I really, truly did. And I just hate, I don't like Dorit. And I just hate that she's now sitting in the center. And if Kyle thinks that playing this side of the fence is going to benefit her, Dorit will trump her
eventually,
in a heartbeat,
yep,
because she's much more calculating than Kyle. Kyle is,
yep,
still very. Kyle is, to me, although she's Hollywood wise and been acting for all her years and all of that, but she's a good person at the core of it, you know? And I think she will suffer the most from...
And let's be honest, if Vanderpump is really looking to hurt Dorit, if she really was leaking stories to the press, don't you think she would have leaked that story of how, and it's not a story because I've been on Instagram, everyone who's on Instagram has seen the video, of the woman who, while they were in Bahamas, chased Dorit around the pool demanding her to pay back the money she owes her,
right,
and
yes,
her business partner, and
yes,
who screamed,
yes,
at her. The cameras were shooting them.
Yes.
There's literally shots of them right before the woman attacked Dorit and right after. And I wouldn't even call it an attack.
Yeah.
Because she owes this woman thousands of,
right,
dollars. And the woman saying, if you have money to travel, you have money to pay me back my money. You owe me.
Yeah. I
but,
do not like Dorit.
So why wouldn't Vanderpump put that out in the paper?
I
if she wanted to make Dorit look bad, that is the story she should have released.
Yeah. I do not like Dorit. I love how she dresses up and all that type of stuff, and she shows the lifestyle glamour wise and stuff like that, but I do not like her.
No. And then poor Kyle, I have a love hate relationship with Kyle, because when she, her and Vanderpump are getting along, I love her, but sometimes I think she is, it's clear how much she actually dislikes Vanderpump. In my opinion, she's always doing something shady to her. And then when the editors even played a reel of all the shady times, and that's not even all of them, that's just some of the shady times Kyle has been to Vanderpump, it just helps to prove my point of, I don't know how much Kyle really does love Lisa, because if you really love someone, and if one of my best friends said to me, on my life, on my kid's life, done, conversation over,
exactly,
I would trust them.
Exactly.
And if you can't trust someone when they say something like that, then you shouldn't be friends.
Yeah, I think what you were saying earlier in the in our podcast was kind of true about how they're all gunning for being Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Can we digress for just a second, and we can always go back if you want. But I love Denise Richards.
Yeah.
I love her. I watched all her other reality shows when she was with her father. And
yeah,
kids and
I've
stuff
seen
like
all
that.
Those.
But she is, she needs a stylist. I
she
feel
does.
So sorry for her. It's like, oh, Denise. I love you, Denise, and God bless you for sticking to your aesthetics. But, honey, you and Teddy just need help when it comes to...
Oh, let's have him go there.
They
Teddy.
Need stylists.
The thing is, Denise is the most natural beauty.
She's
the
most
group.
Natural beauty. And God,
I mean,
bless her. I mean, God, two thumbs up for coming out and doing you and just carrying on and not worrying about the clothes and the Botox or whatever. But, honey, I just
yeah,
want you to...
Yeah, but she's with the rest of the women. You just want to,
yeah,
because like,
that little top she had on at the lunch table...
After, yeah, cycle
looked
class.
Like a pajama top. And
I know.
If you look at my Instagram, honey, I am not rich, whatever, but I'm watching Housewives of Beverly Hills. I want to see the bling. I want to see the glam.
Yeah,
I
totally get that.
Teddy is...
God, I hate Teddy.
Her
Teddy, I'm sorry. I hate Teddy.
Her interview looks pretty good.
I'm Teddy.
But I don't think she's going to be on next season.
I pray to God she's not.
I don't.
She is trying so hard, it hurts.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? It's like she's no longer the new girl now. Denise has come, and so I'm now one of the top bitches. But you cannot hang with the top dogs.
No.
No, you just... do not have what it take. Erica came on as a new girl, and she proved that I can be fucked, top, and dull.
Yeah.
And
Teddy
just,
it's just now.
She's just not good.
And I feel, I worry about the rest of the season. I mean, this season leading up to the fight, I've been bored. I'll be honest. That's why we haven't really covered the last 2 weeks. Because it's just been boring. I don't care about this dog drama.
Well, I think...
And now they don't have Vanderpump. So are we going to spend the rest of the season talking about Vanderpump and how Vanderpump's not filming with us? Because I can't do the rest of the season with that either.
I know. I think they lost an opportunity to put a little bit of spotlight on suicide. Yes. I know it's a very depressing conversation and not the best thing that you want to talk about on a reality talk show, perhaps. But I think rather than talking about the doggy gate, I think they could have taken a great opportunity, even if for one or two episodes, to discuss suicides and how it impacts family members and stuff like that. It's a very real situation. It's something that is kind of shied away and just put on the back burner sometimes, perhaps, but it was a real opportunity to talk about it and just the help that could be out there, if not for the people contemplating suicide, but for the survivors and stuff like that. And we have to always remember that Vanderpump, while she is doing this Real Housewives of Beverly Hills show, she is very much a very busy businesswoman, so many things on the back burner, on top of dealing with a very tragic situation that's just happened in her life.
And congratulations, honestly, congratulations on getting that bill passed.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
That brought tears to my eyes.
I started tearing up.
It did.
They are really, I mean, that is beautiful. And this whole episode that was so overshadowed by this fight with Kyle, which, don't get me wrong, I love me a housewife fight, but they are helping to stop the trafficking of dog and cat meat, and that is just a beautiful thing, and honestly a thousand props to them.
Talking
about it makes me tear
up. It brought tears to my eyes because I'm a dog owner. I love my dog. It's just amazing. And
yeah, and I mean, we love dogs. I've got a dog as well, and I'm just so proud of her. And it's ridiculous that was overshadowed by something so dumb. I mean, at the end of the day, this dog has been saved. This dog is fine. It has a new home. So let's move forward. Let's let it go. But with that, I want to say thank you for listening. We will be back next week, probably with Alexis, if not, maybe Karen will guest star. Woo-hoo! Again. I'm sure we're going to go over the fight with Kyle and Vanderpump again, because Alexis will probably have her thoughts on it. But until next week, have a great one and enjoy your day.
Bye.